We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Len Casper's on Twitter, at Len Casper, the TV voice of the Cubs, is with us here in person at Wrigley Field. And before we get to the news of the day, how about the news of the night? And that is that, once again, the 8th annual Now Hot Stove Cool Music Benefit Concert will be at the Metro to celebrate music, baseball, and giving back. Theo is going to be a part of it, Peter Gammons, and all to benefit Cubs charities and the foundation to be named later. Tickets are available at MetroChicago.com. So what's your role going to be? Are you going to be up slapping a bass?
Yeah, we the Chicago All-Stars, I'm kind of in charge of putting that band together, and we've got so many amazing musicians throughout the city, including Matt Spiegel, who will be singing a bunch of songs, and Craig Kimbrell, I think, will be playing the triangle tonight. That might be the nice. The secret guest. No, we always look forward to it. And Taylor Bennett, who is Chance the Rapper's younger brother and has put together a really nice hip-hop career of his own, has been added to the bill, so it's going to be great.
We I saw Peter Gammons at the Starbucks when I was walking in, and it just hit me again that we're doing this concert all over, that kind of stuff. The guy's footprint in baseball and then all the around baseball stuff that has mattered as it pertains to Peter Gammons, it hit me walking into the ballpark. He's kind of an institution.
Yeah, he is. He is. And he knows everybody. He kind of put this thing together in Boston 20 years ago. Jeff Horrigan, who is still involved in organizing, used to cover the Red Sox, the Reds, longtime baseball beat writer. And then when Theo got hired, it just was a natural fit to have him involved. So I think they have some pretty special plans in Boston in 2020 for the 20th anniversary of the first Hot Stove. So looking forward to that, and it's been fun to tour a little bit with the charity group.
We are learning that the press conference for the announcement of the signing of Craig Kimbrell to the Cubs is going to be at 10:30. It is a press conference we are going to carry live here. And we're finding out now the Scores. Bruce Levine has learned that it will be an option to Iowa for his start to get him into playing shape. I guess he had two options remaining, so there he can be signed and then optioned. So they sent him down already. My God.
Well, it's nice to have those options because not a lot of guys in the bullpen have them. Clearly, the big question will be, how long will it take you to get ready to be back at the big league level? You're hearing anything from 3 to 4 weeks, I guess. I don't think the Cubs want to push it. There's no real sense of they need this urgency regarding Kimbrell. He's here not only to help win the division, but more so for October, right? And a little bit like the Chapman deal, although Kimbrell will sign a multi-year contract, this just makes the bullpen better in general, puts guys in maybe less pressure situations. And I'm not surprised the Cubs were in the mix. I'm surprised maybe that some other teams weren't more in the mix. I read today, I think Ken Rosenthal said that the Rays were very much in it.
We were talking about that a lot.
Just yeah.
The validation that gives you to be like, one of these super smart teams also really likes this guy.
Absolutely. So the Cubs able to get him, and the teams that might have been interested who are in your league didn't. And I agree with what Brandon Kinstler said. It kind of puts the Cubs and the Dodgers sphere and the Brewers as well, in that you better get your runs early because you've got a dominant closer at the end.
You know, I was just kind of thinking, you have a chance to talk to everybody before games and after games. I know you make your way through the clubhouse every now and again. We played a bunch of sound when, you know, Kyle Schwarber was given the whole dangly arm thing to the bullpen and let everybody know that the news was that they got Kimbrell. You could feel it from every player that talked, and I don't know that there are that many things that reverberate through a clubhouse like this has so far this season. There'll be three or four And that's it. This was big news, and this was a big jolt for everybody.
I got a kick out of David Bodie and Kyle Schwarber after the game said, yeah, you know, Len and JD mentioned the tweet by Ken Rosenthal. So what we say carries some weight in the clubhouse. Yeah. That's why we have to make sure we get it right.
Well, Schwarber said he went into the clubhouse to watch his at-bat,
right,
and that happened to be the time when it was mentioned. And then he comes out and does the impersonation,
that's
and that's how the bullpen found out. It's one of those cool things. On a really bizarre and memorable night, we saw infield Gull, by the way, earlier. He was here.
He was
walking around, hanging out, just, you know, going through his
what
paces.
Was the giveaway? How did you recognize him?
Because he was the only Gull, and he was in the infield. And I'm 100% certain it's the same guy, because he knows, and he'll be back. Where does that night rank? Where does the fog night rank on weird nights at Wrigley?
It'll make you remember the Bodie 7 RBI night because of the weather conditions. And Pat Hughes is the best at remembering just about everything about a game and all of that. But to me, it was the Candlestick Park night part of that that's going to make me remember what David Bodie did, for sure.
I was listening to most of the radio broadcast just because I was bopping around all night long, so I had it on the phone. And it seemed like Zach was having a really tough time seeing pop-ups just by nature of the weather. What were you having a tough time seeing, if anything? I know the seats are a little different.
I just watch the defenders when the ball goes in the air. And I do it even on a sunny day. You just kind of watch, for instance, a pop-up behind the plate. You kind of gauge the wind. You watch what the catcher's doing. And when the wind is blowing in, which it'll be doing today, anything straight up in the air usually will end up back in the seats. So you just give it a little extra time. And, the ball did disappear from our vantage point, but I try to gauge where the fielders are.
Are you surprised that Carlos Gonzalez seems to matter as much as he does? That there is an expressed belief in him that went beyond what I expected to hear.
Well, talking with Joe, you know, for now, if there's a right-handed starter on the other side, and today it's Miles Michaelis, Cargo will be in the lineup. So yes, I envisioned him as a fourth outfielder slash pinch hitter slash late inning defensive replacement. He's 33, but you saw the catch he made in his Cub debut against the Angels on Monday. He can still go get them, but what it's done is it's taken away some playing time from Albert Almora, who is in the lineup today with Schwarber getting the day off. But I'm intrigued, and I'm actually going to probably chat with Jim Edmonds today for the pregame interview I do for the Score. He kind of will fit that role, right? Late career. Can you get 4 good months out of a guy? And Jim Edmonds was that guy in 2008, and Cargo may be the guy in 2019.
What's Jim Edmonds doing now?
He's broadcasting for the Cardinals. I think he does maybe a third of their schedule. Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, as it pertains to Almora, that's a guy who has had the question of development versus winning put on him maybe more than anybody else on this roster since the day he got called up. They've been wanting to win divisions and World Series that entire time. And Joe said it the other day, it's not a warm and fuzzy thing. You know, I mean, we're trying to win ball games, yeah. And this franchise has committed itself to, sure, we may not be developing the way other teams do it, but we're winning ball games at the same time.
And maximizing offensive output at every defensive position. Hmm. And that's going to take away at-bats from certain guys at certain times. I think Hayward was starting to lose some at-bats when he went through his slump. It's a daily thing for Joe. There are going to be 2 or 3 guys on your bench who probably deserve to be in the lineup. But you just can't do it every day. And I think the key guy here the last month has been Bodie. With Zobrist leaving the team, with Descalzo struggling offensively, Bodie and Addison Russell coming back have really, I think, filled those shoes a little bit. And that's why Bodie is so valuable.
I was going to ask about Descalzo. It's funny, just as you mentioned his name, I have his FanGraphs page up here. His slash line, you know, I hope he didn't just eat, because it's 194, yeah. 288 on base, 291 slugging. It's a weighted runs created plus of just 58. He is worth negative half a win. Is it possible you might have to give that roster spot to somebody else?
I don't think that's in the offing. If it continues to not go well, I think he just becomes more a bench player and gives you a good pinch hit at bat. And he's taken some walks late in games in that spot. I talked to him the other day. I said, I appreciate the way you carry yourself, because you'd never know if you were 10 for your last 12 or 0 for your last 20. And he said, yeah, just that's the way it is. I'm a team guy, and you just got to keep plugging away. But a really bad month of May is the reason that slash line looks the way it does.
Speaking of which, about carrying oneself, is it just me? This is just something I've seemingly noticed, and I want to see if you've noticed this too. When Jason Hayward believes he's made an out, he screams. I don't know if you've changed the position of the microphone or he's louder or something's different in the mix, but he's yelling at himself at the moment he realizes he's rolled over on a pitch to
different
second.
I don't remember him yelling like that in years past, but you're right. You just hear a every time he makes it out.
I mean, it's a horrible shriek of
not the
existential pain.
I've noticed
okay.
it. For sure. Hey, can I make one point? For I get tweets almost on a daily basis when we're at home. Why do the bullpen guys not do the home run celebration dance?
Yeah.
You guys know the answer?
I don't. I'd love to.
Because of the sign-stealing accusations around the game, the only people in terms of the on-field staff and the clubhouse, all that stuff, the only people who get the raw feed in real time is the replay crew. MLB has one or two people who sit in that room with them to make sure no other people are coming in.
Wait, so they don't know a home run is hit?
So it's on a delay. So I believe it's an 8 to 10 second delay in the bullpen. So you cannot relay signs or any of that information to anyone in the dugout. That's why the bullpen dance doesn't happen, and why we've had a delay because of where the bullpens are located here.
Yeah.
When the manager comes out to make a pitching change, they usually have to yell out there and get the security guy to go, "Hey, you're coming in."
Really?
So that's why.
I'm picturing like the bank vault in Ocean's 11. Right? Where it's like, does it say Bellagio?
Dave Ricard stops.
Right. Yeah.
It's funny. Cole Hamels gets the start against the Cardinals. A good one for him last time around. But a couple of shorter, weirder starts. Where have you seen him kind of come from, those last three to this one against the Cards, and what you expect here?
I think he's been really good. I think he's the last one he needed, I think, after those shorter starts. But again, you guys ask me about Lester and Hamels all the time. Those are two guys and Hendricks, I generally don't worry about. I assume if they're coming off a bad one, they're going to be good. And if they're coming off a good one, they'll have another good one.
Len, thank you. Appreciate it very much. And I know you're looking forward to a big big day, big night.
Enjoy the show.
One of those spots on your yearly calendar.
Enjoy this view. This is really awesome out here.
This is great.
Yeah.
That is Len
Casper.
We're
lucky, aren't we?
Yeah, it's been a good morning.
TV voice of the Chicago Cubs, brought to you by International Champions Cup. Get ready for soccer's first tournament of the year, July 16th. Catch the International Champions Cup as AS Roma battles Chivas de Guadalajara right in their own backyard at SeatGeek Stadium. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com today. Bottom of the hour, just a few moments. We're going to carry the Craig Kimbrell introductory press conference live from downstairs here at Wrigley Field. After that, Theo Epstein's going to join us. After that, White Sox first-round pick Andrew Vaughn is going to join us. Don't go anywhere. You've got Bernstein and McKnight on the Score. We do something most days called Score Leftovers.
Yeah.
It's a video that we put together, and it can be silly and time-wasty, or it can be substantial and fun.
We don't know.
We just do it, and we get to do it today. You don't want to miss it today.
It was a good one. We filmed it up here in the bleachers, and there could be a second part to the video. We are efforting it, but the first part was badass.
Yeah, and even if the second part doesn't come to fruition, the first part is going to make it absolutely worth it. I don't want to give it away, but it's sports and music related, having to do with the event tonight, Hot Stove Cool Music. So you're going to want to check it out.
We were talking to Len Casper just a little while ago, and he mentioned the cool view up here and how this, what we do for a living doesn't suck. Can I tell you what I did yesterday after the show? It's something that I didn't expect to do. Craig Kimbrell coming up here in just a few minutes. You won't miss the press conference, but I did something we've been talking about for about a week with a good old friend of mine, Pete. You met him.
Yeah, I met Pete.
We took the baby to the game yesterday. Pete wanted to come down. He wanted to bring his small little 7-month-old child to the game. And I just got to tell you, for all of the crap that people talk about, oh, why would you bring a baby to it? They're not going to remember, all that kind of stuff. I completely get it now. Like, it was almost, because we would
see. I don't get it with the baby thing.
Pete and I went to ball games.
That's just because I don't like babies.
Ever, as you know, you hate babies.
Yeah,
we went to ball games forever as kids, and then we took his kid, my goddaughter, to a ball. It was awesome.
Well, when you take a kid is different.
But when we'll do it again.
When that three-year-old walks up and sees just the sward of green, and goes,
and we'll do
and
it again.
Like, that's actually, so that's the guy I see on TV, and he's standing right in front of me.
And you know, we will do it again. It'll be great then, too. It was a first-time thing, and I just didn't realize... I didn't realize the emotion that would kind of sweep over. It was a thing. It was a real,
wait till it's your kid.
Oh God, I don't. I mean, that's going to be a whole different. I'm weeping the entire time.
Yes, that's being a parent. Yeah. Yes, that's you know you're allowed if you want. You know how to make them right.
Roughly 12 years Catholic school. So I think it has a lot to do.
You can cry during it if you want.
Yeah, there's the lot. There's a lot of crying. Nobody really wants to be there. That's 12 years Catholic school.
You can wear a hair shirt and a Solis belt that you can keep tightening the entire time.
And now the donning of the burlap sacks.
All right, just making sure, because you can have that experience if you want. It's up to you. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats championship hockey. Your Chicago Wolves are battling the Charlotte Checkers. The final Wolves home game of the AHL Calder Cup playoff Saturday night at 7 at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff information. Keep it here for Craig Kimbrell's press conference live on The Score. This segment is brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. We are Bernstein and McKnight. This is about as nice a day for baseball as you get. As Len mentioned, the wind is blowing in. It's a breeze off of Lake Michigan. But what that is doing is it is providing some lovely natural air conditioning here. These days have been very, very Bay Area-like over the last few, with cool in the morning and getting hot during the day, and then fog and lake breezes. It's just, it doesn't get better.
Good day for a ball game. Decent day for a press conference, too, which is what we'll bring in just a couple of minutes. Craig Kimbrell expected to talk in just a few here at Wrigley Field, the brand new and future closer for the Chicago Cubs. Sounds like he's going to be, and I'm sure a number of questions will be asked of Craig Lee. How long do you think it'll take to be ready? And, you know, what went into signing with the Cubs as opposed to other places? I'm sure familiarity with the front office helped a little bit. But, you know, really what's interesting here, just procedurally, at least to me, is that he's going to get optioned to AAA Iowa to pitch there for as long as he needs to rehab himself, which I find kind of interesting. There's this like weird baseball labor discussion that's going to happen over this coming offseason as both Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell signed as soon as the draft compensation went away for teams to go ahead and sign them. That's going to kick up some dust, and the union will probably be toothless about things, but they'll yell and they'll scream and the discussion will be had. It's just it's kind of strange that there's no place for these guys to go, you know, in rehab without using the option like this. And there really shouldn't be, because it would make it easier for teams to, you know, slide these contracts away and not have to explain that they're not really interested in signing up for the first half of the season if they don't have to.
There needs to be a lot of trust in a veteran, too, because obviously you can evaluate him with cameras and with radar guns and pitch effects and everything that we have. But at some point, it's like, Craig, tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us. You know, because he'll feel it. He'll know it. He'll know from the reactions of hitters. And then if he wants to look at the data, he can. But this is a 31-year-old who has certainly earned the opportunity to just say, okay, I'm good. Or, you know, I need another week.
You know what we're going to have to do in about 10 days, you and I and Jay, is we're going to have to put a call in to Taylor Davis.
Yes.
The AAA catcher for the Iowa Cubs.
Great.
We had such a great conversation with, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
He's a personal catcher, caddy to Yu Darvish for a handful of starts, so he'll end up catching, I would imagine, as long as he's healthy and good to go, he'll end up catching Craig Kimbrell, so we should find a time to talk to Taylor.
A little bit of news here, something long rumored and reported is now actually official. MLB has announced today that these two teams, the Cubs and the Cardinals, will play each other in London in 2020.
Okay.
The two-game series will be held June 13th and 14th. It will take place at Olympic Stadium, home of West Ham. West Ham. And St. Louis will be the home team for both games. The Cubs will have two off days prior to the two-game series, then have June 15th off afterward. That's been previously reported by the Associated Press.
June 13, June 14, and then the Cubs get the 15th off. Is that, I got that right?
I'll be interested to see how they set up the field for baseball, what kind of dimensions.
Rob Manfred was on, the commissioner of baseball, was on a broadcast, I don't know, in the last weekend or something. Maybe it was the ESPN Sunday night game I happened to be watching. And they were asking how those developments are going at the ballpark for the Yankees and Red Sox game, which would be the first game played in London. And he said, yeah, we're still going through construction phase, and it looks like it's not great over there. I mean, there's still a lot of work to do to excavate whatever portions of that field they need to create the rest of it, it sounds like. Manfred was very much on, there's lots more work for us to do.
Well, and then we're going to get into the whole issue of the sleep science and the circadian rhythms and the clock. And then I don't want to get to the point where we're in the middle of September saying, yeah, well, ever since the London trip. That's just what screwed him up completely.
What we did with the 40 straight games, right? Last season, I mean, it was the same tone. I feel like it could be the same tone of conversation. We just couldn't get it right. And it's such a demanding travel schedule. And how are you expected to play like this? You figure that for that series, you'll get to add an extra man, right? I mean, the baseball will just allow that to happen like they do with the doubleheader. You'll get to take the 26th or 27th guy if they expand the rosters one more after this coming season or after this current season. So you'll get the extra guy, and then you would send one or both of the starters over as early as you possibly could. So they're not arriving, obviously, day of or day before. You'd want them there 2 or even 3 days before. So they'd get the travel exemption to just hang out in London for a couple of days if you're starting that ball game. I mean, those are all the things that I can think of to make it as easy as possible. Even then, that is a lot.
They're getting set for batting practice here at Wrigley Field. They got the screen set up. They got the cage set up. They got the L screen set up. Lots of guys. We saw Kyle Hendricks was on the field playing catch, and Jose Quintana doing his post-start running work. He pitched well yesterday, I think.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I thought he was absolutely fine. The Cubs couldn't quite find the Lambert kid who looked like he had a pitch or two working for him.
Yeah, he did.
And then some kind of ugly at-bats in the middle. He was interesting to watch. I find that whole Rockies pitching the fact that they spent the better part of their franchise history not being able to figure out pitching, and then suddenly the last 2 years, with the exception of Kyle Freeland, they've got pitching now, and most of it is homegrown. That's kind of bizarre to me, and I wonder if they've, you know, stumbled into the lab and figured out something the way the Astros have, or maybe figured out a way to defeat Coors Field a little bit more than they used to.
We are looking forward to hearing the first words from Craig Kimbrell, Chicago Cub. The press conference was called for 10:30. It is running a little bit late, and we are looking forward to bringing that to you live as soon as they sit down at the dais and begin talking. After that, we're going to have a visit with Theo Epstein. After that, we're going to talk to White Sox first-round pick Andrew Vaughn, the slightly undersized but highly skilled, offensively skilled first baseman who is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the outset of his pro career. Exciting times for all those guys, especially a number 3 pick in the draft.
You know, something I was thinking about in regards to the MLB draft that plays into why the Cubs need Craig Kimbrell now and kind of the state of the organization. You noticed that the first 7 picks of the Major League Baseball draft were all position players. And that had never happened before, ever. It seems as though teams are going harder and harder into position players in the draft, something the Cubs have done for years. Only recently have they started really investing in some first-round arms. You had Ryan Jensen get drafted this year. It seems like the idea is that you can create pitching. I mean, literally create pitchers in your lab with your Kinetrax, all that kind of stuff. And it's harder to do that with hitters. It's harder to make and create and high-speed camera your impact hitters.
Yeah, this is, you can't engineer the ability to hit velocity.
It doesn't seem that way.
Yeah, that may be after we get the guys, we're trying to get the authors of the MVP machine
right
on this show to talk about it. And this is a book that we've talked about in great detail, which I can't wait to read, that explains all this stuff, that maybe this is the one thing you can find is action on a pitch. You can engineer some velocity after a certain starting point, but maybe that they would test the sort of the human limitations of where man meets machine is in the ability to catch up with some of these pitches.
And the other part of this is as much as the Cubs have been excoriated for not being able to bring up their own pitching, or not enough of it for sure, there's still the injury situation that exists. Pitchers are going to get hurt. It's just the state of baseball now. So there is still the simple fact that you would rather let other organizations develop some pitching, which is apparently, you know, harder to keep healthy, than acquire that pitching that's stayed healthy with the bats that you've gotten lucky enough to kind of find in drafts and identified and scouted more. If you have the surplus of bats, the idea I think still stands that you're just going to grab some of the pitching from other places that have developed it and taken on the injury risk on their own.
Or they've already had their injuries, that the guys had Tommy John already.
Sure, either way.
Recovered from Tommy John already. You know, that's a huge part of the draft. How many of these high school kids have already had Tommy John? How many of the college kids already have? Because you count it as an inevitability right now. It's, you know, when the way you look at, you know, old-time baseball, by the time you got to the major leagues, you'd already selected out as a freak. You already either were not hurt or could handle this huge innings load, or you had your injury and you had a tricked elbow, whatever they wanted to call it, and you were able to still do your job. It's not the way it works anymore, because now you're funneled into the prospect system so early that the having of the injury and coming back from it is kind of baked into the development process, at least on the pitching side.
Well, and your long-term rotations, too. I mean, even looking at, look at the White Sox. You know, look at the way that they've, you know, got to account for some of that pitching coming back. I'm not saying it's a reason to not sign Dallas Keuchel necessarily, though I don't think that would have helped them all that much, not right now. But you've got to account for Kopech coming back. You've got to account for Cease coming up. You've got to account for Dunning and Rodon. All those guys need to pitch in your rotation, assuming they come back healthy, which is more likely than not, given the injury status in baseball. You have to plan for those things. You can't force those dudes out.
Still looking forward to hearing from Craig Kimbrell in moments. We'll take a brief time out, and as soon as he sits down, you will hear from him live. You've got Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dean McKnight, 670 The Score at Wrigley Field. Let's go downstairs to the introduction of new Chicago Cub Craig Kimbrell.
Baseball. Given the makeup of this team and the aspirations that we have. So before I introduce Craig, I want to recognize a few important people. Craig's wife, Ashley, Craig's daughter, Lydia Joy, and Craig's mother-in-law, sister-in-law, and niece are here as well. In addition, David Meter, Craig's agent, who was terrific to work with on this deal under unusual circumstances during the season. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the newest Cub, Craig Kimbrell.
Can you tell us what you've been doing during the course of the season?
I've been doing my best to stay ready. Spent a lot of time down in Florida, right outside Orlando. Down there training, working out every day. Early on, I tried to simulate the best I could, spring training, and then working into the season. And as we worked through this, we could kind of see the prolonged time that this might take. And I worked out accordingly. And probably at this point, I've probably long tossed and thrown as many bullpens at this point as I ever have. But I definitely feel good and ready to go.
After getting together with Theo and Joe, and the group, what do you think a realistic turnaround time is for you joining the team?
I mean, we've sat down, we put a game plan together, and something to work off of. But at the end of the day, it's based off how I recover, how I get ready. This isn't about getting back on the field as fast as I can. This is about being the best that I can in October and down the stretch, and doing what I came here to do for this team.
Craig, not often do free agents sign in June. You and Dallas obviously have. What do you attribute waiting until June here to sign with the team?
The reasoning, or
yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of reasonings, I guess. I don't think sitting here talking about, you know, me signing and becoming a Cub today is. I don't want to dig too deep into that. I think there's a lot of aspects on both sides, and there's a time and a place to talk about those and discuss those, and I don't think today is that.
How hard was the uncertainty that you dealt with over the last couple of months?
I don't think it was too bad. I've been through a lot in the last year and a half, personally and on the field, and so I don't think waiting around trying to find out who I'm going to work for in the next year has really been the hardest thing I've been through. So. If anything, there was blessings in it as well. Get to be at home, spend time with family. I mean, that was a blessing.
So would you say that what made this the right decision for you?
From the beginning, as soon as Theo and David got on the phone, we knew this was heading the right direction. Just just by the conversation, the back and forth, the willingness to negotiate and get to this point, we both wanted this to happen, and that's why I'm here.
Closer Craig Kimbrell being introduced downstairs here at Wrigley Field.
Process during the season as far as when it picked up and how it got to this point?
There's definitely interest there. We never moved forward on it. But as we got to this point, they realized and I realized this is something that we could do and it happened.
Theo, when did it sort of get serious for you?
Well, David and I stayed in touch, a little bit this winter, and then certainly during the first couple months of the season, and we reconnected maybe a couple weeks before the draft, and started to get serious. I think when last Friday, Craig threw a bullpen, and we sent one of our scouts, Joe Nelson, and then our super scout, David Ross, to go see the workout. Actually, it's a funny story, but Rossi actually caught Craig's first pitch he ever threw in the big leagues. Then he's there watching him throw a bullpen, getting ready to sign as a free agent. That bullpen went extremely well. Both guys reported that Craig looked like he was, just about in midseason form, and everything was working great. Ball was coming out really well, and we continued to talk, and it just became clear that Craig was serious about his interest in the Cubs, and that if there was any chance to get this done, we wanted to make it happen. We saw it as a unique opportunity. I mean, how often can you add, a closer, an elite closer like Craig, someone who's arguably on a Hall of Fame trajectory, with the need that we have midseason, without giving up any prospects? That's just such a great opportunity for the Cubs that we all sat down and said, if there is a way to make this happen, we want him to be wearing a Cubs uniform, and continued to talk with Dave, and it came together really quickly.
Theo, would you have been able to do this if not for the Zobrist situation?
There are always things that change in season. There's always a number of factors that, sometimes you end up taking on more expenses than you anticipated. Sometimes money frees up and become available. I don't think it's appropriate to go into great detail about our financial situation. But, I'll say this. The fact that Craig is here and his addition, that doesn't in any way impact Ben Zobrist's situation. We're here for Ben. He's part of the Cubs family, and he knows that the door is open for him if it's ever an appropriate time for him to return. And it'd be wonderful to see both those guys wearing Cubs uniforms together at the same time. So they're not related at all in that manner. But obviously things changed a little bit with our financial situation in season, as can happen from time to time, allowed us to be a bit more aggressive.
Craig, you probably know a lot of the guys, your new teammates, but Jason Hayward was one of your former teammates, and he's a leader in that clubhouse. Did you talk to him at all beforehand, just to get a lay of the land here?
I actually talked to quite a few guys. He said Ross came down to help me or watch me throw my bullpen, and he filled me in on a lot. He spent a lot of time around this group of guys, and we spent a lot of time together as well. And Jason reached out. A number of guys reached out to let me know, hey, if there's anything you need, anything you want to know, we're here to help you. And when Jason reached out to me, he wrote me a real long text, said he wanted me here, this and that. And I replied to him that all I needed to know was where should I live and what number am I going to wear. And he enjoyed that. And then that night, everything came out that we were going to be coming here. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm going to go ahead and say something, before, I answer any more questions, just so I have time to do it, that, through this process, I've been able to, go through this pretty easily. Standing in where me and my agent David were, watching and how it might unfold. So it was a little bit easier for me. But I just want to thank my family and my friends. I knew it could have been tough on them because they wanted the best for me. And for me to tell them, hey, everything's going to be fine and not really knowing, they were strong. And that was appreciative. And obviously, I want to thank David. He's not just my agent. He's one of my best friends. And he was amazing through this. It definitely wasn't easy through the long haul, but definitely here at the end, it's been very easy.
Greg, what has your Wrigley experience been like, and what are your expectations of being a Cub and being at Chicago?
My Wrigley experience has been great. I mean, I haven't been here in quite a few years. I think the last time I was here, I was in San Diego. The stadium was still under construction. So I'm going to be walking out into a brand new ballpark that I've never been in. Very excited about that. Expectations-wise, I mean, my expectations are to show up and do my job the best I can do it, and like I expect myself to do it, and help this team make it to the playoffs, make it through the playoffs and win the World Series. And not just this year, but years moving forward as well.
Number 46 is taken here. How did you come up with 24?
Well, it kind of came to me. There's really no reason. I like the number. It looks like an athletic number. I like to think I'm an athlete at times. And, I think it looked great.
Theo, you can make a case that you had this need going back to the off season. Is it just the unexpected variables that occurred in season that allowed you to do it now instead of maybe then? Or other things? Why now that instead of then?
Well, I think we were doing the best we could under the circumstances this winter to address the bullpen. And I want to be clear about one thing, too. I think we have a really good bullpen, and I think it just became, you know, potentially a dominant bullpen. But, these guys out there have helped us, get to this point in first place. You know, we have a number of guys throwing the ball really well, and when you add someone like Craig, it just kind of slots everybody else in a little bit earlier in the game and just have a really special bullpen. But, no, we were doing what we could to address the bullpen this winter. It was not a situation where we were going to be able to sign Craig this winter, that, you know, for a number of reasons. And as things changed on both sides in season, it became more realistic, and we were able to make something happen. But, you know, I think we knew, and we've been open with you guys as far back as spring training, that this was going to be a year that we had to kind of read and react in the pen. We were going to be aggressive bringing guys up from AAA, which we had, and we said that at some point we're going to be aggressive outside the organization, whether it's and we said most likely through trade, and that still remains a possibility. But, you know, the fact that Craig was available as the single best guy, you know, in our opinion, to come help from outside the organization made this such a desirable move for us.
You know, what would the first step be for Craig?
First step is going to throw a bullpen tomorrow, and then head out to Arizona and have sort of a condensed spring training of sorts. We'll throw a couple of bullpens, then face live hitters, and we'll kind of get a gauge on where he's at from there, listen to Craig and how he's feeling, and at some point make a rehab assignment. And we're not going to rush it, as Craig said. You know, it's going to be tempting, you know, to get him here as soon as possible. But we're trying to plan this thing the right way so that he can be in a position to succeed, not just immediately, but all the way through October. And that's going to be our guiding principle as we go.
Craig, can you expound on the experience of just not knowing? You know, you're emotional, as you talked about your family, not mm-hmm. knowing, being hard on them. What was it like for you? What sort of things did you
Well, I tried to. I mean, like I said, like I was part of the conversations. We kind of understood kind of how the lay of the land was going throughout the offseason, the offers that we're getting, the offers we were not getting, and where what position we were in, to where my family and friends had no clue. They were on the outside looking in. I couldn't let them know. I couldn't, especially the people closest to me. I still couldn't fill them in on what was going on. I obviously had a lot of players reaching out wanting to know, hey, what's going on? Couldn't do that. Kind of had to stay in my shell for a little bit and let this thing ride out. To say, am I surprised? No. I think everybody looked at last offseason as well. But am I disappointed at where I am right now? No, not at all. I'm very happy where I am. And I'm glad that I've made it through this process, which was tough. And then hopefully we can get this worked out between players and the owners moving forward, and that's a different conversation. But at this point, I'm ready to be a Cub, be here for a couple of years, and help this team do a lot of winning.
Craig, you have a lot of out pitches, but hitters have always said that it's your rising fastball in the zone that just gets them all the time. one hitter described it as a two iron off the tee. It just keeps rising. Is there anything that you do that makes it do that, or is that just natural motion?
Well, I'm a little shorter than most pitchers, so I guess that helps. Arm angle. I think it's a lot. This is my arm slot and how I come through the ball. I'm not trying to throw it up, because if I did that, I'd throw it off the backstop. But it's different things, just manipulating the ball, creating spin, and understanding that, and when it plays and when it doesn't. We've definitely seen over the last couple of years how hitters have adjusted their swings to hit pitches like that. So I still got to be able to throw the ball down as well. As much as my high fastball can play, it's only as good as how well I can command the bottom of the zone as well.
Craig, this is obviously untraditional as far as a kind of a quick spring training for you here. What are your expectations for yourself, and do you think the time off can actually maybe pay off? You'll be fresher down the stretch.
I definitely feel great right now. I'm pretty strong. I had to back off my workouts because I was becoming a football player in a sense. So I had to back off a little bit, but I'm healthy. I feel great. I'm ready to get out there, face hitters. It's tough to simulate that. When there's the unknown, not knowing if I was going to get a phone call the next day and be shipped out, or if someone was going to want to come down and watch me throw the next day. And mentally, I'm not throwing my bullpens at 98 miles an hour. At least I don't think I am. And that soreness that I'm going to have to learn over the next week or so. Far enough into my career, I can manage my body. And that's part of the reason that I'm at this point in my career.
Introductory press conference on Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station.
You're talking about just mentally?
Well, mentally and, your mechanics.
Mechanic-wise? I learned at a young age. I worked with a lot of coaches from one year to the next, going to high school, going to college, going through the minor leagues, being in it's my fourth team now. And I've learned from each and every person that I've worked with. To say that I have one person that I can go to that can wrap it all together, I think as a professional, that's kind of my job. But there are people that I lean on. And a lot of times it's usually the pitching coach or the guys around me on the team, or it could be anybody. But to put that on one person inside the game or outside the game, I don't think I can really do that. But as a professional, I have a pretty good idea of what I need to do and how I need to do it. And that's just something that I've learned over the years. I give a lot of credit to my catchers over the years. Each and every ball club that I've gone to, I felt like the catchers have been unbelievable for me. I think at first I need to explain to them what I'm trying to do, and then it catches on really fast. What to look for, what not to look for, and things like that. They're kind of self-explanatory, and as long as we can work together on the same page, everything works out.
Those in town here who aren't familiar maybe with your unique kind of setup on the mound, what's the origin of that, and does it help you like a golf trigger type thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, David Ross scared me into doing it back then. it's something. It all started with like an injury, so I didn't want to put my arm behind my back anymore. I started just letting it hang. I was getting a little bicep tendonitis, and leaning over and having it behind my back didn't feel good anymore. And I guess over the years it got out of control. It became something that was more of a stamp in my performance, I guess, and now it's just something that I do. I like to think of it as a way that I lock in, a way that I separate from where I am usually as a happy, fun, love everybody guy to turning into what I want to on the mound.
Craig, your numbers, career numbers, jump off the page. For those that maybe didn't watch the playoffs last year, the numbers weren't as good. Just small sample size stuff, anything to account for? What's your take on that?
Well, I definitely did at times struggle through the playoffs. At times I struggled with location, putting guys on base. The numbers weren't what everybody wanted. The numbers weren't what I wanted. But through everything that I was able to get through, and as a team, we were able to get through. The fact that I was still able to do my job, I didn't hurt my team. Nothing that I did out there, it might have made things a little interesting, but I didn't lose us any games. And at the end of the day, it's about winning. Would I have liked my numbers and personal things to look better? Absolutely. I think everybody would. But as getting through it, winning the World Series, that was our goal. And at that point, it wasn't about trying to put up the best numbers. It was trying to get that last out before they tied the game or took the lead. And fortunately enough, I didn't let them do that.
Theo, sorry to bring politics into the room. There's a Trump donor event Saturday. Do you have a level of comfort?
We're here to talk about Craig Kimbrell, the newest Cub, and you know, if you want to grab me about other topics afterwards, I'll try to make myself available.
Great.
Okay.
You know, can you walk us through logistically? You mentioned the rehab assignment. Will you have to option him?
Yeah, so Craig will be optioned to Iowa today, and then we'll report, though, to Arizona, and we'll be there as he gets ramped up through his pens and his live BPs. And likely destination is Iowa for the rehab assignment, but we're going to read and react on that after we see how about the first week or so goes.
And how long do you think in Arizona? Just
we'll see. We're not going to share every plan, but we'll keep you guys updated as he transitions.
Craig, are you as confident as you look, you know, out there by nature? Are you always confident? Has that wavered at any time in your career?
Well, I'm glad you say I look confident out there because, I mean, that's the whole goal. You know, each and every day you feel different, especially as a relief pitcher. And you gotta learn how to work your way through those. I mean, there are days where your stuff's great and there's days when it's not, and you still got to go out there and work. So I treat the situation, I guess, the way I look or the way I'm going to go about it the same every time. But mentally, I know the difference of when I can attack guys and I have my best stuff and when I don't. And as a pitcher, it's just something that you work through. You just got to do it the best you can.
Craig, you kidded about David Ross and his role in catching you when you made your debut. But what role did he play in making you feel more comfortable about this decision as you were weighing one team against the other?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, he did fill me in on the culture of this ball club. There's Chicago Cubs. I mean, he didn't have to tell me all that much about the culture of this place and what is expected here. He filled me in on the clubhouse, and I think if anything is how family oriented this place is, how much they care for the families and how much they'll do anything for the families. And that really resonated with me because, I mean, that's the most important thing to me. I'm a husband, I'm a father, and then I'm a baseball player. And to understand that this place is going to make that as an easy a transition as possible, it definitely played a part.
Craig, were you ever close to signing with any other teams or thinking that something may happen with another team? And did when the Cubs kind of showed interest, did they immediately become a leader?
Well, there are definitely things out there. There are definitely talks. Obviously, nothing that we were ready to agree to or thought about agreeing to. And like I said, when Theo called, the doors opened and it moved pretty fast because we saw the fit, they saw the fit. And, you know, one thing that's important to me also as well is being able to play in front of a fan base that is passionate about this game as I am. And I did get to experience that in Boston. And it'd be hard to leave that kind of passion each and every night, especially in the role that I am, a very adrenaline-based player. And knowing that each and every night that those seats are going to be full, that definitely played a huge part in this decision.
Craig, for your workouts, who would you get to catch you? What hitters would come in and face you? Just how did you go about putting those types of workouts together?
Yeah, so I was down in Montverde. It's Montverde Academy down right outside in Claremont. Was working out in their facilities. I had a trainer that I was working out with, Justin. And was using their baseball facilities. It's where Francisco Lindor went to high school. He's donated a great amount of money to that school, and their facilities are amazing. And it definitely, I mean, it made it easy on me. I could drive down the road, work out, go across the street. I was working with a high school catcher there and was able to work with him. His schedule was open for me. I was able to work with him the best that I could and teach him what I could. and it was just a great scenario down there.
High school catcher was okay.
No, he's great. No, yeah, I mean, we might see him one day.
Tell him about the guy you had standing in as a hitter in your bullpen. The guy who's
At home.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I went home. I went home for a little bit, and I played catch in my barn. And one of our close friends and a guy that we have helped us do a lot of work in our place. I was just throwing into the net one day, and he was walking by. I was like, "Hey man, you want to stand in?" He's like, "Sure." So I threw a couple pitches with him, and the next day he got a piece of plywood and carved out a batter. And the next day the batter was there instead. So yeah, that was, I guess, not everybody likes standing in on this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.